This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assemblies meeting October 23rd, 2008.
No,
these are the decisions.
Yeah, so the one that he gave is an example, right? Isn't that an example?
No, those are real.
No.
Those are all the real ones.
Model then. What was the model you were just describing?
How to read this sheet.
Okay.
These are the sheet that you all have is the decisions of the Appropriations Committee and the basically cliff note of the 40-page packets that are all attached.
Clear?
Okay. Questions?
Then again, it's 4:47. Okay. Meeting is called to order at 4:47 p.m., October 23rd, 2008. The clerk, please call the roll.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Yes.
Here. All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from October 2nd, 2008. Are there any corrections? Are there any motions? I'm going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right. The minutes have been approved. Open microphone. If there's anyone in the audience. Is anyone in the audience that would like to address the student assembly on an issue not currently on the agenda, please do that now. All right, we're all set with that. On to announcements and reports. I have one announcement on the agenda regarding my checkup emails, I'm calling them. So I just sent out a very long email that I hope you all were able to read, and if not, please do it at least by this weekend. What it entailed was all of the issues that have come up so far, thus far. It's about halfway into the semester. I know a lot has been brought up. A lot has been brought up by SA representatives, by administrators, by students, and we've talked about them. We've either formed ad hoc committees or we've designated people assigned to them. Now, this is the point where we really have to push for and see some activity and then resolve. So that's all in there. And each of those blurbs for each of those issues, I guess the gist or the state of all those initiatives, from my opinion. So obviously, if any of that seems inaccurate to you, please let me know. I did receive some requests for people to team up with those other representatives, and I forwarded those emails so everyone's on the same page. But that's what's going on. I really, really hope to see some activity and resolve from all those issues. I know there's a lot on the table, and we should use this latter half of the semester to do a lot with all of those and then adopt a brand new set of new ones next semester. So please team up with each other. Use the listserv. Use that email to get things rolling. Are there any questions about that? Okay, great. Next, we have a university calendar update by VP Basil.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys all know about this, so this is not sort of a short-term thing. Right now, the Faculty Senate is discussing adding an extra day to the fall semester. In other words, starting classes on Wednesday instead of Thursday. And in turn, they would add either Labor Day as a holiday, an extra day to fall break, or an extra day to Thanksgiving break. So they're sort of mulling over this idea right now about, I guess, which day they'd prefer to do, whether it's even feasible. This is not something that they would enact probably for about 2 years, because the university calendar is set several years out. But at some point over the next couple of months, they're going to seek student input about basically what day we would prefer to have off. So I guess just keep that in mind, and because we'll be part of that discussion. So thanks. Any questions?
Any questions for Chris? All right. Moving on, we have a board safety committee update by Representative Craig.
Okay, so for those of you that saw the email that I sent out, I believe it was last night or the night before, we're going to have our first official meeting with students and also some community members that are very interested in working on the gorges. I have been sending out, I did actually meet with Natalie and Francis and Raps over the past weekend to sort of make our own essay goals and how we should proceed as a committee. So if there are SA members that are really interested in doing this, let me know so that you can be on that listserv that I, not listserv, but when I email people out that I know are very interested, just let me know so I can include you on, you know, the more administrative things that are happening within the community and within the committee. And also, we'll be meeting Monday from 5 to 6:30. You can let individuals know it's going to be in the Day Hall boardroom. So it's going to be a little bit kind of a packed room. We've invited the Friends of the Gorge Committee, which has a lot of students on it. And we're going to be, it's more or less an introductory meeting to decide where we want to go and how we should proceed organizationally wise. So let me know if you have any ideas or thoughts. On another note, also in that dinner which I mentioned, on Monday evening, there will be a University Diversity Forum, which is second announcement per se. We're looking to get a lot of students to come out, not just necessarily division leaders, but all students, all constituents, invited to come out here in the Memorial Room from 7 to 9:30. And there have been announcements in the Sun, if you've seen them, full page ads about some alumni stories, which we're going to use in State Hall, some of the discussions that we do. And it should be a very good evening, so definitely come out if you've got some time. Thank you.
Any questions for Asa?
All right.
Residential and Community Life Committee update by Representative Kumar.
So we had a very exciting second meeting yesterday. We had a lot of great input from our team members and we had a couple of questions on the committee as well. I don't know if you saw the Cornell Sun yesterday, but it was an editorial where that sort of hit on a lot of the broad issues that we're hoping to debate this year. And the main issue we talked about yesterday was just trying to get a sense from the committee members about information about the housing lottery that they would like to see included when information is submitted. So we're going to be working on that, talking to campus life directors and other stakeholders, I guess, to schedule events, what kind of information students want in the short term. So that's our short term project right now.
Any questions? What do you feel? All right. All right, that's all we have on the agenda for now. Just on reports. Are there any additions? Ready.
Just to remind us that in the SMU will be the campus code of conduct review committee. It'll be 7 p.m. or whenever the SMU finishes, and it'll be in the HMA building.
Any questions for Remy? Any further announcements or reports? All right. Moving on to business of the day. I'm not sure if the first group is here yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so before we begin, we're going to go right into FCFC appeal now. I'm just going to sort of explain. First, VP Mezzi will give a briefing of the Appropriations Committee's decision. And actually, Mezzi, explain it from up. You'll give a briefing of the Appropriations Committee's decision, and then FCFC will give a briefing of the SAFC's perspective on it and their decision on any further information from the Appropriations Committee meeting.
And the group will get?
The group will get 2 minutes. And then we'll go into questions and discussion. Mezzi, any corrections to that? All right, so I'm going to hand it right over to Brent.
We'll choose a group up. If you guys want to step up to the table in the group as well, yes, please.
You get five.
Pardon?
You get five.
Okay. This is the Asian and Asian American Forum. So everybody, if you can, I'll pull out the decision sheet. That's kind of what I'm going to be going over. The appeal amount that they requested was $420. The appeal amount that was granted was zero. The reason that they appealed was under new information. And the group's explanation for the appeal, we got confirmation from massage therapists after the September 16th deadline. The rationale by the SAFC was no contact was made until September 18th for new information. The initial contact must be made before the September 16th deadline. So everyone knows, too, when the SAFC is going through budget packets, if they see, the first thing they see that they would stop funding for an event, they stop going through the budget packet because they know that if this isn't there, then they're just going to stop there and move on to the next next item in the packet, if there are other items. So the Appropriations Committee voted 0-9, 9 votes saying that the SAFC did not err, and the rationale for that was the SAFC did follow the funding guidelines, and the groups failed to meet the requirements that are outlined in the guidelines. Specifically, the group did not submit an email showing that there was an attempt to reserve a room before the budget application due date. There was no room reservation or proof of attempt to contact to secure a room reservation. That was the decision of the Appropriations Committee. If you go through, this is the appeal packet that was submitted. You can see the SAFC appeal application that they submitted, then also the email, and just take note of the dates on the email. And then on the next page where it says rationale, you can see the two reasons for priority one, why this organization wasn't funded by the SAFC. Okay? SAFC? And just to point out one thing too, from the rationale forward is the only documentation that submitted by the group. Everything else behind the rationale was submitted in the original budget application packet.
Sorry, I just want to make clear the structure. So you'll give the briefing of the Appropriations Committee's decision for the for 5 minutes or whatever you need, and then we'll do all of. In the beginning we shouldn't have a back and forth. So then we'll go to the SAFC, your perspective for you have 5 minutes. I don't know if you've covered it already. Are you all set?
Yeah. Well,
okay. So that's we'll just make sure we're more structured in the beginning with that. So, sorry.
I just want to go over what I guess the timeline of what happened when we were submitting the SAFC application. So on September 16th, on the first SAFC deadline, we submitted the packet. We submitted the original packet. On September 18th, we had our hearing with FDSC. And after hearing, we submitted the documentation adding to our SAFC packet. That's what we're doing at the hearing. They said that the SAFC at the table said that all we needed was a confirmation for the massage therapist that we were trying to get funding for at the time. And because we didn't have confirmation then we did make an effort to contact them. And so we provided that. So once we got confirmation, we provided that information. And this was after the first step. This was after the first funding decisions were given. And in which we received $0 because of that reason. We submitted that, the confirmation for the appeals. And then at the appeals hearing, we were told that we submit the original attempt to reserve the room or all that information that you need. And, which is true, I guess. But we were not aware that we needed it. But we weren't aware that we thought that from that verbal exchange at the first funding hearing, that we needed to submit those documents, and which is why we decided to do it again. But I guess we were also aware that in the second appeal, when you're trying to appeal the appeals decision, that you can't submit your information, so that was our problem. I don't really have much else to say. I can't really argue against the SAFC guidelines. They follow what they're supposed to do. It's just like just trying to get the funding. We held this event 2 times before, last semester and last fall, and they were both very successful. We were trying, without SAFC funding, it would be a lot harder to put on this event at the same capacity as in the past, and that's what I'll have to say.
Okay, I'm opening up the floor. Excuse me, speaker's list is now open. You can direct questions to either the SAFC, Greg Mezzi, or the group, or, of course, discuss the debate. Speaker's list is open. VP Miller.
To the groups, you said that you were not aware of the documents you needed to appeal. I want to know what the FASC stance is on that. Did the FASC feel they were not given the proper information at the time you appealed?
The SAFC. I'm sorry, the SAFC. My apologies.
Sure. So I can't guarantee you what was or was not said at the public hearing, but after each the original public hearing, we sent all groups of rationale explaining why we made our decision. And in the rationale for this group, we didn't know that we didn't see why there was government regulation that was attending date before September 16th. So within the rationale of the council for appeal, we were beyond that.
So they did have notice in the rationale that was sent via email, is that correct?
Yes, you should all have that in all
packages. Great, thank you.
Representative Crick.
Okay, so I have a question, I guess, for the SAFC. So was the issue that the room wasn't confirmed or that they didn't have a confirmation of a speaker?
It was actually both. So
it's actually
both.
Both.
And then either of them is not to rule out the
Okay, then I have a question for the group head. Were you in contact with, before the deadline of that FASC, did you get in contact with the individuals that you were seeking to come at this point?
We started. Yes, we were. As we were having proof in contact before the FASC deadline, we just didn't submit it in the budget package.
Okay, so it was already confirmed before the FASC deadline, or was it still up in the air, are you saying?
It was, we had to make contact before the FASC deadline, the September 16th deadline, and it was confirmed a couple of days later.
Okay.
The confirmation should be in the packet, the original attempt to contact people.
Okay, thank you.
Speaker's list, Representative Galenstall. Can you pass the microphone?
The issue here, the problem that it's very hard as a group, you know, and I don't know if this is a discussion here, it's about the rulings, is that it's a terrible loss at this 16th or day to have a confirmation of what speaker you're going to bring. I mean, when I have a group myself, it's very hard to know who we're going to bring, what doctor, what professor we're going to bring to Cornell on September 16th. So I understand that when we have 2 days late for some confirmation of the speaker, and 2 days late for confirmation of the room, it would take a lot of work to decide what room, because what audience is going to be, what professor can do, what day, all those things are kind of complicated things. And I think that there is a question of accountants that look at this, and they don't understand the dynamics of how actually creating a successful event. And therefore, I agree with you, we should fund them
You can, what? Or I can.
You can. The SAC can respond. Representative Stein. And before you continue, you have to keep your hands up until I see and recognize you, otherwise we won't have you on the speaker's list. Is that you? Is that you?
All right. Just to clarify, I think it's important that we all realize we're not here to analyze whether or not the policies of the FAFC are good or bad. We're here to decide whether or not to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee. I also wanted to know from the group how this lack of funding will affect your event. Will the event continue, but it won't be the same magnitude? Will it be more difficult, or will it just not go on at all? And is it your only event in this semester, or are there other events?
So yeah, this lack of funding, if we don't get the excessive funding, it will be more difficult to hold the event, either in terms of not being able to secure the speaker or looking for other means of funding the event, which is part of the event coming up. And what was the next question?
The event will still take place, though?
Yeah, the event will still take place either through a budget capacity or hopefully find other ways of funding it. At that, as of right now, that's up in the air. This isn't the only type of bowling this semester. We're holding other events. We're bringing a performance group in on the 25th and some other events that are currently in town.
Thank you.
Representative Brockman. Sorry, microphone. The reporter.
So, when we talk about a speaker in this situation, we're talking about three massage therapists, right? And was there ever a doubt that you couldn't get the massage therapist for your event? I mean, would they have said, say they said, yeah, we have those three massage therapists, but it can't be so flat, and then it would just change the day of your event, correct? We're not talking about scheduling a speaker, is what I'm trying to say. We're talking about a company.
You can respond, yep.
The massage therapists are the main, I guess it's one of our main draws for the event, and so we wouldn't set a date for the event until we can confirm that they are available.
Representative Shannon.
What I wanted to say, sorry.
Representative Sandoval.
Hi, I have a question to the group and the SAFC. First question to the group is, did you show that you mentioned how you had an event before, so I think that's a tendency for the event to happen, whether it's one per semester, but did you show that in the application that you had an event prior to the semester? And to the SAFC, my question is, if an organization regularly has an event, well, how do you determine if an organization regularly has an event? So that, you know, they can have a little bit more leeway, because it seems that, you know, these events are pretty hard to, to partner. And so I just wanted to just make sure that, you know, there's some fair.
So to your question to our group, yes, we've had an event. We've had the event in the past, and in the budget package that we have for you, we actually did include a correspondence with Noise Hall, which were on the event, dated sometime last semester, and so that was a correspondence for ours for this event last spring.
VP Genowitz.
I think that was my question.
Representative Hines. I'm sorry? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, SOC, please. Thank you.
So, there's nothing in our guidelines that matches anything that can so regularly held an event that they get money for this year, too. And just from another perspective, from a fairness to members, it's not 30 days of groups have been on campus for a while. The advantage is automatically giving refunds because they'll turn something in that. Refund for each semester based on what we're given that semester. And this semester, really, from them, unfortunately, we received it from that position.
Okay. Did you still, were you still with us?
No, I just wanted to ask it.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't really tell someone asked before. Okay, so you said you did this event twice before?
Right.
Okay, and so for both of those, I'm assuming you got funding from SAFC? Okay. I was just curious if you had done it before, if why you didn't include the information this time, if you did it before. Like, did you know that, I mean, I don't know, I guess that's just my question, is why you neglected to include it this time as opposed to before, if you've been through it before.
And if the SAFC, I don't know, the first part, you said you believe so, I don't know if the SAFC can definitely say yes or not. Did they receive SAFC funding for those previous two events? You read it. Okay. Yeah. You can respond, please.
I was just asking why, if you'd been through this process before, which you said you did, why you neglected to include the information this time?
I guess because we got an extra update this year, I guess he was not really as aware of SAFC policy as the previous director, and I guess it's related to that. I mean, we did we did follow up to see how in terms of making contact before the September 16th deadline. And really it's just nervous about working throughout the documentation. We're not arguing with the SFC balance or anything like that, but it's just like, we've done this event in the past, and we've done something before this event, and we follow all the different kind of moments and different USAC in the past.
Representative Hines.
Okay. I have a few questions for the SFC. So if a group doesn't provide information, they're having to seek or proof that they contacted them, then you don't hear from them. And then if they have the information later because they forgot it, then you can correct that by giving them 75%, correct?
So there's two ways. If they try to contact someone or try to reserve a room before the original deadline, and they were just like the speaker didn't respond to them, if it was not available at the time, so they just presented to them the deal, then they qualify for new information and they can receive full funding. And the new rule implemented this year is that if they forgot something, the original budget which they could have turned in, but simply forgot, they could turn it in later and then they'll receive 75%.
Okay, so the problem here is that the new information was not available at the time of the original hearing, and they only went and gathered the new information after the first hearing.
Yeah, so we also still never got information of the room, too. And the room reservation still was never received.
They still don't even have all the information.
I feel like I need to clarify also on SAC, correct me if I'm wrong. I think one of the issues is whether it was new information. New information is something that couldn't have been received before the deadline, right? So more of the question that's being discussed is whether it was new information. That's the SAC's rationale. It wasn't. DP Basil.
Yeah, so I guess on that point, I mean, if you all turn to the fifth to last page in your Asian American Forum packet, which is a Gmail email with the subject line "Request Masseuses" from Meredith Riley, what this shows is that only on September 14th did the group even start to begin to think about how to schedule masseuse. This email was a forward from the group, basically from the previous semester, when they tried to set up this event from last semester. So basically not even until the 14th did the group even think about registering a masseuse, and not before the deadline on the 16th, neither did the group think about reserving a room. So had the group had the room scheduled, had they sent an email out on the 14th to try to reserve a masseuse, but it was not available, then it would qualify under new information. Since neither of those conditions were met, that's why, from my point of view, not the point of view of appropriations, but that's why I believe appropriations voted this down. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and call a question.
Second. Call a question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? All right. Now to make the voting clear, we're voting whether or not to uphold the Appropriations Committee's decision that the SAC did not err and the group doesn't get their funding, or you're voting no to which disproves the Appropriations Committee's decision, which would mean that we will discuss another option other than the group not getting their funding. Is that clear? So yes, you're voting in favor of appropriations and in favor of SAFC and the group not getting their funding. No, you're voting that the Appropriations Committee decision is not valid in your mind and that the group should be getting funding.
That's two-thirds, right?
You need a majority to approve the Appropriations Committee's decision, two-thirds to overturn. Is there any questions? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 Abstain?
Yes.
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 Pass.
Yes.
I think it's done.
18 to 2 to 1?
All right, vote of 18 to 2 to 1.
Lynn Smith.
There's no pass.
She's a pass.
Oh, one of the representatives is pass, so we need to go back to Representative Smith.
Abstain.
18 to 2 to 2. Okay, my vote is 18 to 2 to 2. The SA upholds the Appropriations Committee's decision. SSC did not err, and the group doesn't receive funding. As you close up.
Pardon?
You can close up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the SA and the Appropriations Committee. So, you know, it's outlined in the funding guidelines. If you feel that this process was not followed correctly or whatever, you can appeal to the Ombudsman of the university. But I also would encourage you to go out and look for other sources of funding and, you know, in the future, try to foresee some of these things so that this doesn't happen again, because we want to try to fund as much as possible. But we do have guidelines that we do have to adhere to. So unless you have any other questions, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next group for SAFC appeals, we have Patch. Are they here? Excellent. All right, again, we'll have Greg, five minutes or less, give the SAFC, give the Appropriations Committee's decision. SAFC will have 5 minutes, and then the group will have 5 minutes, and we'll go into discussion. So,
just a note of clarification on the sheet that I gave you with Patch at the top. The number of original allocation should be 234.51 and not 235.51. Just a point of clarification. So everybody knows, the Appropriations Committee voted 9-0. Yes, the SAFC did err. The Appropriations Committee funding decision is fund the group an additional $117.65 on top of their original allocation of $234.51. The SAFC did err. The group had a price quote for 47 passenger bus. If they would have supplied a letter from their advisor, they could have received 25% reduction. Based on the information provided in the budget pack and during the appeal hearing, the committee felt that there was significant information to fund the group for 47 students to travel. For example, if you take out their budget packet, there is a price quote from Fort Howe Coaches saying 47 passengers. Then there is also a sign-up sheet of a number of members who wanted to attend the trip as well. And then does anybody else on the Appropriations Committee have anything else to add?
No, I guess.
No?
That would be in discussion and debate.
Okay, then that's all I have to say.
Okay.
SFC. So in the original budget application, we received two things about the travel. We received the price quote for the bus, which has capacity for 7 people. And just to note, by guidelines, the SAC funds for student travel based on the number of students traveling and the mileage. It does not matter what method of transportation you do use. And the other thing we received was a letter from their advisor. And in our guidelines on page 33, it states pretty clearly that if you have more than 4 people traveling, you need a letter from your advisor stating the number of people traveling and why. The letter from the advisor given to us in the original budget said 30 to 40 people. It was a range, not a specific number. So we funded, as we tend to do, for the lower end of the range. We funded for 30 people. In the appeal, we were told that 47 people needed to come, but we were not given a new letter from the advisor correcting the original one. So we denied it. We did not feel this new information. We didn't receive the correct form nor receive proof of why we did not determine beforehand that 47 people needed to travel.
Okay, and the representative from Patch, if you can state your name and for the record, and then you have 5 minutes.
My name is Erin Sandler. In the original budget package, we included a sign-up list for people who were potentially interested in attending the trip, and the list did include 47 people. Unfortunately, at the time, we didn't have any bus insurance, so the letter from the advisor said that 40 people didn't know what the plan was to be able to get to how many students. We were able to get a 47-person bus and did receive applications from 47 students that would be attending the trip. And at the time of the appeal, when they were coming to a lower amount, I was told at the extra help session that I should go about the appeal as to discrimination because they probably hadn't calculated. No, I only calculated for the lower line people. So I went about the appeal should have won value as the information and the rest of my advisors. That's why the letter was there at the time of the first appeal. I wasn't allowed to change the appeal during it, so that's why I'm here now. And I do have the letter.
Thank you very much. Speaker's list is now open. Representative Salem.
Yeah, I was just looking at the letter that the advisor had sent to SASC, and it says this trip includes the rest of 45 students, and definitely like 47. And then it continues, which we must fill in order for Upstate to host the student that day. And I'm taking that to mean that, you know, all 47 seats must have been filled. And then she continues to say the administration requires a minimum of 30 or 40 students, but she doesn't specifically state that 30 or 40 students, only 30 or 40 students will be present. She says, you know, you must fill the bus. I think that should be taken to mean, you know, all 47.
Does the SSD of the group want to respond?
I mean, just in our guidelines, it says we need the exact number from the advisor, and we weren't given that, so we just want the lower end of the range.
Representative B.P. Miller.
Being a member of the Appropriations Committee myself, I remember this meeting being one where Varun, Aaron, and all the Appropriations members unanimously came to an agreement of what worked out for them best, you know, worked out for everybody. So, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, SSC and the group, the amount allocated by the Appropriations Committee was received very amiably by both SSC and PAC. Is that correct? I'm sorry, I couldn't...
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're just defending our decision on our appeal, but now we have, I mean, this group clearly made that the advisor does, they are taking 4 seconds.
Right, and... And Patch is happy with the decision made by the Appropriations Committee? So seeing that all three bodies have gotten what they like, I call the question.
Second. When I call the question, is a second, is there any dissent? All right. So to be clear, actually I'm going to ask Greg... I'm sorry, I apologize, I didn't do this before. The group has 1 minute, and then SAFC has another minute to close, if you want to take it. Sometimes people just wait. Okay, excellent. So at this point, if you're voting yes, you're voting to uphold the Appropriations Committee's decision to rule in favor of the group that the SAFC did error. And if you're voting no, you're voting to overturn the Appropriations Committee's decision to rule that the SSC did not err. Yes for the group, no against the group. Will the clerk just call the roll?
Yes.
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 Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
Abstain. Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes. Okay, my vote of 19-0-3, we uphold the Appropriations Committee's decision that the SHC did err and Patch gets their funding. Thanks very much for coming. Okay, is our representatives from Big Red Bears here?
No.
Okay, that's okay. We're going to pause. Am I explaining the votes correctly? I know it always gets a little confusing. Oh, please feel free to ask any questions. Okay. Big Red Bears are supposed to be here at 5:40. And what time is it?
5:26.
It's 5:26. We have a 10-minute recess.
Push pop. They're not there, actually. I know.
Is any other group here, Chris?
What is the push pop? You guys are
talking about this.
Well,
did
you not grow up like...
No,
I didn't. We discussed a lot here, but I never had a push pop.
But me, yeah.
Did you guys all have...
They don't have any.
Did I not forward that email to you?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I did because in the essay, you know, I gave you all that link to the RIA. I didn't get part of 2 million.
Because I could read those links, those emails. I mean, I'm sorry, just read the page, the contact page.
Yeah.
Okay. How did CIT committee go yesterday?
We did them last year.
Did it go well? Great. Did you get minutes, a chance?
During the bond funding.
No one was typing?
It's just so difficult to judge how hearings are going to go.
Yeah, yeah, he's having a Word document. I'll send it in minutes for you, I don't mind.
Oh my God.
Just email me the Word document, that way I'll email the office and it goes on the website. So if people just want to know what the minutes actually are, they can...
Yeah, because people are...
Yeah,
like,
well,
because
Andrew Ryan was like dissenting for the sole purpose of suspension.
Okay, let me put that in my.
Yeah, I mean, come on, if you want to just
email me about that.
Please.
Yeah,
thanks. Oh my God. Andrew Ryan.
Oh, okay.
I saw Andrew Ryan.
Yeah, I'm also going to try to get him. I'm out here. I'm sorry.
No, he's still mad about one.
Okay, I got
one.
I'm the only one who posts on that.
You know that it's written in
short. I mean, I think I'm good. I'm in like a nice peace of mind right now.
Yeah.
Studying. I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning studying. So. It's been alright.
Oh, I forgot to get your water. Sorry. What, did we, what, did it cost money?
Yeah, we got better.
What?
Cost less money.
Free tuition.
Hey, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this.
This is a plan they have at other schools.
And that they have some funding guidelines and a charter.
At other schools, like paying into a medical, you got like $5. Like $5 a week is on your account, right? And then you can throw on more money. You thought you were going to need more. And then at the beginning of next week, the maximum you have is still like $5. But you know, I guess money you put on yourself. And how much is that?
Well, you have to find out. Everyone can use $5.
And still, you know, it's not like go crazy. There's incentive not to make a million copies.
The hotel school gives all the students $20 a semester in free printing.
But at the same time, how much is it per page?
A couple times, maybe? I don't know.
You could raise how much it is per page.
Put the numbers together.
Get some economy. But who do you call on that? Red Light? Those same people?
No. Technology. Is the Pope Catholic? The best thing that is outsourced by Cornell Dining.
I want a piece of that cookie.
All right.
Greg, are we still going to have those meetings?
You're who I forgot to put on the list.
Actually,
what do you think?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
At 10:30.
Well,
okay.
What do you think?
What do you mean?
How's it going?
Fine.
You guys ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. What?
Where at 10:30?
D12. Or D12.
B12. Stay Hall.
I just want to behind base friendly. I think that's a good mix.
Sorry, hold on 1 second.
I don't read.
Hello?
I don't know how to read.
What were you going to say?
Hi.
Yeah, it's better than me.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. Right. B7. Who looked at that? It's supposed to be the same.
You know, it's...
Like, if people don't read my emails, then that's not an excuse. If you don't read the agenda, it's not an excuse.
Your meeting's really good until 7.
Yeah.
We kind of booked in the time for the yesterday's show. It's usually 6:30.
Oh, good.
It's usually 1, 2. It's usually
7.
It's usually
6. Okay.
No, I'm on the end, but...
Okay.
Or, you know, anything?
Yeah.
She's warm?
You know, I mean, I don't know. This is your last stop.
Sorry, I have to text this for me. I gotta go.
In theory, we can, like, make sure we're following the college.
So it's like a chancellor?
Yeah, email.
Organization. No,
basically. Are you Scott?
I don't really know.
Got it.
So I have a niece now.
Congratulations.
We know what's being.
Like, that just happened?
Did they potentially not come? Do you think they're good there?
Yeah, that's a thought. Because they got what they wanted. She was really happy.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's an interesting idea.
Whoa. They're getting their funding. They need to be here.
I'm surprised they wouldn't come.
The student assembly will hear your appeal during the next meeting on Thursday. Your... which you are scheduled to appear in front of the... Oh, your time, which you are scheduled to appear in front of the assembly. And your time slot is listed below. So,
does it say?
DJ does.
Get it? You get it?
What? Will you call DJ?
Do they know that they don't get funded if they're not here?
Will you call PJ?
Yeah,
I don't call.
On your phone?
It's not on your phone. No, I do, but I don't answer for you.
Maybe I'll send it to you. And half the time he doesn't. Is that who that is?
Hey, I need Emily Krause's number. And I don't think I can do the next. She's not showing up for her appeal. It's a debacle.
The only thing I know is that
at least I tried.
What is my question?
No, we're going to still do it, and they're not having 5 minutes.
Why? Would they have their... Why would they not have to get their funding?
I don't know.
It's just a question. It's not in there, so
I
won't honor
it.
Because you're only upholding the decision when you're appropriate.
I know. We're going to go to 3
of
them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tony.
I got some other things. I'll play
on just getting another 20 minutes. Chris shouldn't have scheduled it over this part. So they do keep him. That's at the table. Bring stuff up.
We're going to. I can be carried out.
Hold on.
I know. Thank you.
Forget it.
Hey, Ryan. Can you recommend a class?
Just pull them all in.
Mm.
All
right. What? I do. Let me think about it. Definitely. You need to show for the lecture. Just recently.
Oh, I
would take. I have more thought I have to. We're going to begin up, so if everyone take their seats. I like gold.
Emily, hi. Greg Meisner from the student assembly. It's 5:40 right now. Just wondering where you are for your hearing from the student assembly. I'll think about it.
Okay, we're gonna.
Hello.
Okay, we're gonna go. We're gonna move on to next group for SAFC appeals, which is Big Red Bears. They looks like the group don't have representation. Doesn't have representation right now. They just won't have 5 minutes to express their concerns. So, Mezzi.
Okay, so the appropriations decided that the SAFC did err in a vote of 9-0. The appropriations committee funding decision is fund the group at $302.20. What the group needed to provide was a quote for their costume to be cleaned. Yes, the Cornell Bear is a costume. But in our conversation with the group and the appropriations committee, she said that they would not need to receive near the amount of funding that they were requesting because a number of the cleaning cycles have already passed. They wouldn't be able to clean it in the past. So all they needed is for the two remaining cleaning periods left in this semester. They did provide the quote in the appeal. The SAFC denied the appeal on the fact that it was not new information, but the group should have been able, with submitting it, the 25% rule. So there was a miscommunication there if it was a new information or 25% reduction. So that being said, instead of funding them 25% of the amount that they're requesting, the lesser amount of $302.20 is what we decided to fund them at because that's all they said they needed.
All right, I said, see, 5 minutes. All right, the speaker list is open. Representative Sandoval.
Am I allowed to talk for questions?
You are.
Call
all right, I'm going to call the questions in a second. Is there any dissent? All right, I'm going to ask SFC 30 seconds and then Mezzi 30 seconds. When you do it, explain.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, all right, Mezzi.
So basically, the group asked for money. They didn't have the quotation. That was something that they could have easily submitted and received a 25% reduction. They thought that they had to appeal and, under new information, get that reduction, but all they had to do was turn the form into the office. 25% reduction of $775 would have been more than the $302 for the two cleanings that they said that was all they needed. In the Appropriations Committee meeting, the group was very much agreeable to this, so that's that.
Okay. I'm sorry? No. All right, I'll explain this quickly. What the precedent has been, and this is not in the charter or guidelines, so I don't have to honor it. The precedent has been if the group doesn't come, they don't get their funding. But the only instances where the group didn't come is when the appropriations decided that the SAC didn't err, they don't get their money. So they just were anticipating losing the appeal, so they didn't come. It's never happened like this. I'm thinking perhaps there's a miscommunication or whatever it is. So we're just going to go through with this. They don't have their 5 minutes. I mean, everyone seems to be on the same page anyway. So, would the clerk please call the roll? If you're voting yes, you're voting in favor of appropriations that the SAFC did make an error and the group should get their funding. If you're voting no, against appropriations that the group shouldn't get their funding. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right, by a vote of 18-0-4, we uphold the Appropriations Committee decision that the SAFC did err and the group received the funding. Switching it up each time. All right, do we have representatives from the next group, American Institute of Chemical Engineers? Not here yet. Tony's going to see if you can find them.
We're going to do Tony Jason. He's got to keep the other time.
If they don't come back. Just a second. What was that doing?
Sorry?
So we went to appropriations.
Chemical engineer?
Good idea. Hi, guys. We're running actually a little ahead of schedule, so I hope that's okay with you that we'll start 5 minutes earlier, or 10. Can you both please introduce yourself, state your name and your for the record? Great. Thank you for coming to your appeal. Appropriations Committee's rationale, 5 minutes. Greg.
I know. Appropriations decided that the SAFC did err by a vote of 9-0. The decision was to fund the group an additional $993.32 on top of their original allocation of $674.90 for a total of $1,668.22. Basically, the group should have been able to receive a 25% reduction if they provided the letter from their advisor to the SAFC. This group was instructed to appeal and was confused with the 25% rule and whether or not that was done during the appeals process or if that was just something that they could provide as additional documentation. During the meeting, the SAFC representatives, organization, appropriations committee agreed to the following. The travel expenses, the total amount that the trip would cost, a 75% reduction, the first allocation, and the difference between the 75% reduction and the first allocation gives us what we decided to fund them in addition to. So it's in the Appropriations Committee's mind, it was pretty straightforward. It was, again, not a lot of clarity in the 25% rule. The group did correct it on what they were asked to do on time in the manner as accordance with the guidelines. The SAFC, though, didn't see it as new information because it wasn't new information. It was a 25% rule, but that we need to work on that communication for the future.
All right, 5 minutes, SAFC.
SAFC agrees with the communication. Almost exactly the same as the last case. We rejected it as new information field, but it shouldn't qualify
as the same. Great. And representatives from the American Institute of Chemical Engineers.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's a lot of formality. The speaker's list is now open. Representative Kumar.
Can I close the question?
You can. Well, you asked me a question, so make your motion.
I called the question.
Second. There's been a call to question. Second. Is there any dissent? There's no dissent. 30 seconds to the group, 30 seconds to SAFC. If one to take it as like a closing remark or just a wave. Okay. I don't want to deviate from the formality. Okay, SAFC. All right, the question. I'll call the roll. If you're voting yes, you're voting in favor of the appropriations committee that the group should get their fund that the SAFC did err and then the group should get their funding. If you vote no, you're overturning appropriations. The SAFC did not err and the group shouldn't get their funding. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes.
What was the count?
20-0.
By a vote of 20-0, the group gets the funding. The SSD did air. Thanks very much for coming. Do we have any representatives in the audience from COLA or Absolute Zero Breakdance Club?
No, I know both of them.
Okay, we don't.
Yeah, I apologize for thinking this is going to be much more contentious than it is.
Laughs into the microphone.
All right, so we're actually going to pause business of the day and come back to it when the groups get here, and we're going to go to new business. Resolution 11, Student Assembly Absentee Policies, sponsored by B.P. Miller.
Yeah, we did that last year. Bitch, do what I want. Thank you. happened to this?
D.T. Miller, you have 5 minutes.
So, we have an email yesterday. There's been a lot of questions about absences, how they actually apply to the FAA Department of Charter. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of confusion as to what excused absence meant and unexcused absence meant. And for the Charter, I think that now the only thing an excused absence do is give you like a captain proxy vote. As it stands right now, if a member of the 27 meeting misses 3 in a row or a cumulative total of 6 throughout both spring and fall semesters, that he or she will be vacated from his or her seat. I felt it was a little bit unfair, considering how in the past, you know, some executive boards recently haven't really taken this rule to enforce it. However, I'm doing my best to follow our charter. That being said, there are total 27 meetings. I feel that an NSA member ought to attend at least 20 of them. You know, obviously, we are students first. We do have academic obligations. We do have religious obligations. We do have family obligations. And sometimes there's just emergencies that do arise. But I understand it's not, you know, appropriate to expect every member to attend every meeting, but I feel like 20 is a reasonable number. And I also wanted to give you more weight to the difference between excused and excused absence. So I know the wording is a little unclear, so let me try to give you a simple version of it. Basically, if you pass this resolution as it stands right now, as a charter change, it would allow for a total of, if you miss 3 absences, if you miss 3 meetings in a row, your seat would be vacated and still the seat the way the charter laid out. That would change. If you get a total of 7 excused absences cumulatively falling through the semester after you miss your 7th meeting, your seat will be vacated. Also, if you have 3 absences that are unexcused, as determined by the BCN turnoff, then your seat would be vacated. In order to close the loophole where you're getting 5, you know, if you have 6 excused and 2 unexcused, maybe 8, I thought there's a little caveat in there that says excused or unexcused for a total of 7. That way, if you get 5 excused and 2 unexcused, even though you haven't met the threshold for either or, the combination will get you in the end, so you don't go over that number 7.
The positions
so, and that's all. It's pretty straightforward. And the rest of the procedure and how we fill the main position, I have to touch that in the charter. That can do be done the same way. So that's all I say, I guess. The question can answer.
Okay. Speaker's list is now open. Representative Shannon.
Oh, sorry.
One clarification. This is a charter change. So actually right now it's questions only. Debate and discussion will happen next week. We can vote on it today because it is a charter change. So yeah, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'm just wondering,
to the best of my knowledge, and some of the chairman should correct me, it is the sole discretion by the President of Internal Operations to distinguish between an excused and an unexcused absence.
I can tell you that's been the practice. I don't know if Scott has anything to add that's in the charter that says otherwise.
I think it might be actually.
It's directly in the charter, you think?
I have to look.
Okay. As we continue, if you could look, that's how it's been.
Yeah.
Representative Salem. What?
Yeah, rules of the absentee policy will still stand regarding like coming to the meeting late and leaving early that they would come to the absentee.
As is my interpretation again, the chair, the public chair, correct me, if you leave early, it's a half of an absence. The same applies for your charter, and I know that doesn't work, and religious obligations also come to half absence. As long as the DJ general is informed beforehand, it's not a whole absence. You can do the whole absence. I can do the whole meeting.
And missing roll call.
From the moment that the gavel was struck, that meeting starts. If you walk in late, yes, sir. Oh, sorry. I'm sharing. Representative Craig.
I guess I would ask, I direct this question first to Ryan. Have we in the past brought something forward the committee to vacate this? Has that been done in the past? I know it's not happening last year.
I don't, it's not, I mean, I wasn't on the executive board as a freshman. I don't think it's happened in the 4 years. This is the fourth year I've been on it. While I'm here. I know it's happened before that.
And then I guess my next question will be directed to you, Tony. I'm trying to think how to direct this as a question. Now, the question is, okay. All right, I'll wait.
Okay.
Can I respond to...
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening past, but I do know, in the internal right now, there are some members who have a fair amount of absences, close to what has been laid out, the fixed absence mark, or at least maybe half of that, I'm not to say, but it's on the record. It's sort of an absence instruction, okay? So I just want to, you know, kind of help in protecting those members who I feel are serving the assembly well by adding extra. Do you feel it being more advantageous to analyze whether meeting early for, say, a prelim, because you have to keep before the prelim or something, do you feel that would be a better adjustment? I'm not opposed to clarifying even more what a half absence is or what constitutes a half absence. That wasn't actually part of the summer on that part. I don't know which bylaw it is affected. But no, I'd be very open to maybe clarifying. You know, right now, I think the problem I have is unexcused excuses aren't clarified enough. I'd certainly be willing to look at what constitutes a half absence and, you know, what constitutes no absence under special circumstances. We want to discuss that, sure.
And the biggest thing, which I guess I now have in the question, I know it says here that, you know, these people be vacated, but I know as we have done with, say, someone brings a discrepancy of a member to the committee and saying, I think you violated your code or our code of taste, as happened in the past year, that we vote on it as a committee. So are we following a technicality where, okay, this person has missed six absences or whatever we want to say, and then you're automatically vacated? Or I believe that during procedure, what would happen is then they would be brought forth as an issue of should it be vacated, and then we vote on it as a committee. I think that's something that we need to take a look at, whether, you know, that's our sort of protection clause. Do you know if that's the way it's
Right? I'd be happy to provide history. So you would have to, that'd be something you explore. To answer your question, no, it's been automatic. It's been. I'll reference the elections rule that we discussed earlier that McDermott brought up, automatic disqualification if you don't have your finances in by whatever time it is on the date. It's automatic in the rules. And it's automatic in our charter, and it has been automatic in practice. If you're looking to explore an idea where that goes to the SA, there's more of a process, I think that should be spelled out in the charter, and I think that's a good idea. No, I mean, I'm by a chair. I think that you have to talk about that.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good idea. I looked at that footnote, it kind of bothered me that there was no discretionary measure in the charter that it's automatically vacated, which is why right now, we are doing a charter review as a whole, so I think that's really an issue. I am going to have it down the road, just for right now, to make sure that no one's going to be kicked out automatically out of the fit, that we're public status, and put it right now. But I hope that my next system will pass it, that we have that fixed right now to make sure it's 7, and to make sure that excused and unexcused are not related. Excused right now, we have an excused absence, 6 but still. We'll get you
thrown off automatically. 10 seconds. Okay. Actually, Scott found it in the charter, so if you wouldn't mind reading it.
It's in bylaw 4.2.3. And there's actually a list of the responsibilities for the of internal operations. And number 5 is maintain and monitor SA attendance records and send warning notices to members who are in jeopardy of violating the assembly attendance policy.
Okay. Thank you. Representative De Long Song.
How early does that cover? Does it extend to 20 minutes for the meeting and you leave at 6:30? Does that count in your absence?
The way I've been doing it, the chairman, especially to correct my procedure, if the meeting is extended, I cannot have that as a half absence because it's an extension of what our normal time is.
That's also been practiced. Representative Dyka.
I was trying to already answer, but I was wondering if you applied to the title, after we already had a meeting with the
Okay, great. Representative Stein.
One of the things that I talked to you, Tony, about before the meeting, and I just like to sort of ask everyone to consider, was in addition to looking at this particular change, whether we want to go and more specifically work with excused and unexcused absences and define those and, you know, change that around so that someone who's missing SA meetings for, you know, a chronic illness that crossed up or something like, you know, a religious observance or prelim, if that should be considered differently than just a regular absence. Tony and I discussed this, and there seems to be a lot of pros and cons to both, so I just ask that people think about that over the week.
Thank you.
Originally, I was looking at taking, you know, if you had an excuse absence, you know, oh, excuse it, the reason why should this kind of remember. And then it was brought to my attention by some very wise folks that it's not a personal thing in your absence. It's not me saying you're a bad member. It's more like, to me, it's more like, if you're not able to be here at the vote and bring discussion to the table, you're hurting your constituency by not being a voting member. It's nothing personal, which is why I believe this should be, you know, a number where you commit. I mean, it's not your fault, obviously, if you're perpetually sick every Thursday at 4:45 to 6:30. That's how your body works. That's nothing against you. But are you going to be an effective member to the students at Cornell University? Not really. Which is why we do need some absence policy that has 7 minutes meetings, which is the wiggle room, which is, you know, emergency happens, religious holidays happen, family emergencies happen, students post their study check feeling. I feel like 20 out of 27 would be a good amount of expectation.
VP Basil.
I'd like to yield to ASA.
Thank you. I just have a quick couple of things to ask. So then my next question would be is when we're talking about leaving early or coming in today at 4:46 22nd. Who is, I mean, say we haven't gone through the roll call yet. Is there someone like at the door watching, or are there cameras that specifically know? I'm just saying, I don't see you necessarily writing down on the notepad, you know, this is when you came in. And then specifically for not voting in the evening, and say someone leaves at 5:40, but we don't vote, so there's not necessarily a record. How do we know if that person, who's keeping all this?
You know, again, this is for the chair and the executive board to reprimand me if they don't feel my speaking right. But as it stands, first of all, everyone got an email yesterday noting how many absences they had. And you should notice that if you didn't get a half absence, you came a little bit late, or you left just a little bit before the time. I don't adhere staunchly to the gathering venue. Again, as the chair wants to reprimand how I do that, I, you know, that's
an expression.
But I do build in a little bit of leniency, you know, if you're running a little bit late. I have to, I guess that's when you reckon the email, and then, you know, even though it's in the minutes, but I agree with that, and you should have
published them also.
I don't robotically cancel the minutes.
And I would just say, I have some tasks that have been the same thing.
Then the last question, I guess I didn't read the email well enough the other day. So you did send out all of our answers. Perhaps have you thought about making like a portion of the site numbers only or something where we can go and check throughout the year so we don't necessarily have to wait?
Well, the minutes are always available online. They came up with a roll call in there. And that was the primary source that you used to get
when you leave early.
And see if you want to check my discussion. I didn't feel it necessarily the most appropriate thing for everyone to see everyone's absences out there. I mean, it's like you want to come, you know, if you think you should do that, maybe the executive board should look at that and see if it's going to violate your privacy. I mean, I don't. If you guys want to come out of the I wouldn't be opposed to it either, but I just kind of wanted to protect everyone's privacy. It's a little bit more when we first started talking about this.
Representative Yao.
I'm not sure whether it's already been written in a charter, but I think there's so many specific situations, and it's possible to handle the VP in general with some power of explanation.
Can you, so you're, I don't quite understand the question. You're asking if you can give the VP
some
of in charge.
Some power to give explanation.
Wait, I'm sorry, I can't hear the murmur. Repeat the last part.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we can handle the IBD internal for some power. our right to extend chief explanation to each specific action.
Do you want the VP of internal operations to justify each excused and unexcused?
Yes, because there are many, so many specific situations that we cannot write in chapter, so on.
Yeah. Okay. I can't answer that right now. I would say Basil, as chair of the executive committee, have this definitely as one of our agenda items for next week. And anyone that's particularly interested in this to come, we should explore how or what's an excuse, what's an unexcused. You know, is all the flexibility on the IOP, should he be explained this and that? So I think we need to discuss it. I can't just answer that right now. That would be just my opinion, and that's not how we'll decide this. So we'll discuss it at exec and bring back something on Thursday. But that's, I would say that's also separate from this resolution right now. This resolution is talking about something more objective. Representative Brockman.
What happens when the chief vacates the special election?
Nope. I refer you to Scott in the charter, speaking of listed after bylaw 3.4.
That's
my knowledge, but again, if I go to charter, we find out. If there is the seat becomes vacated, we go to that election. To give an example, if an at-large seat is vacated right now, we go through the results of the last election in the spring and find the next highest winner. If there was no one else, in the pool, maybe in the uncontested election, then we have a chair appoint a liaison as a non-voting member with a special election to be held in the next election cycle.
All right, going to the second speaker's list, unless there's anyone else. Rami?
In the special election, can the person who's forced to make this rerun?
As far as I'm concerned, the record blesses his record if I'm wrong. As long as that person is still a constituent, still a member of that constituency, he or she would be eligible to run. Again, I think we're losing focus. I'm not talking about the larger picture in the chart. I'm just trying to fix a problem that we have with the people that are absent. If you don't let me get thrown off, we're going to have a little stopgap in here right now so we do the larger issue of the chart review to make sure that no one's thrown off in the near future.
Dylan Fung? You're on the speaker's list. Do you want to talk again? Okay. Oh, I thought you raised your hand a second time. Do you want to? No? Anyone else? Sorry? All right.
Can we table this until next week?
Yeah. If there are no other comments, I guess then we'll go ahead and table till next week. So thanks. All right. Now I guess we'll take another couple-minute break, I guess, before the next group. They're not here. I apologize. I'm sort of on the mindset of last year where people made conflict for conflict's sake. So a 20-minute schedule would have been ambitious. But I guess thank you guys for being reasonable people. So hopefully the next group will get here in a few minutes and get started.
The schedule to get here at 6:20. Is there any reason we would think for us to think that Cole is not going to show up, SAFC?
Oh, they'll be here.
They'll be here.
Okay. We have a 5-minute recess.
Nope. I think they're
all they'll be here.
It's on fire.
What?
It's on fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Rebecca, I think it's just the notion of, like, I'm running things. It's just so funny to me that, like, I just really enjoy it.
You look so cheery.
I'm gonna make sure you can't attend 7 SA meetings.
What are you gonna do? Tie me up? That's exciting.
What do you think we need to do?
So funny. What are you
going to
do? Lock me in the kitchen? That should be an excused absence.
Cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
bite your tongue, that thing.
Oh, this is what it was. I never heard it, but it was awesome.
Can everyone make their way back to their seat? All right, the next group up for SAFC appeals is COLA, Cornell Organization for Labor Action. So you guys, whoever you're sending up to take a seat by SAFC. You can all come up if you want, whatever you want. Okay. Okay, Marlene, can you state your name and year for the record? Can you state your name and year for the record? And you, sir? Thanks, thank you. All right, VP Mezzi for the appropriations report.
So their initial appeal requested to the SAFC was $5,275. The decision of the appropriations committee was the SAFC did not err. There was a vote of 8 that believed that they did err, that they did not err, 0 believed that they did err, and there's 2 abstentions. The SAFC did follow the funding guidelines, and the group failed to meet the requirements that are outlined in the guidelines. Specifically, the group did not submit a room request for their original event that they were applying for. They did, however, provide a letter of intent that would be considered new information, but they did not submit proof of contact at the time of the SAFC appeal. A couple of things that came up in the discussion. The group, I'll leave it at that, and you guys can explain, and then I'll clarify later.
Okay. SAFC, 5 minutes.
Sure. The SAFC agreed with the appropriations committee. Just to clarify, there's 2 issues here. 1 was the lack of room reservation, and 2 was originally there was no letter of intent. We received a letter of intent in the appeal to the SAFC. However, we did not receive documentation that contact was made before the September 16th deadline. That documentation was held right in the SA, the appeal to the appropriations committee, but we did not have that in time. The room reservation is not an issue.
Okay. And COLA, 5 minutes.
So actually this is, I guess, 3 issues that sort of emerged, sort of made the whole entire process a bit complicated. I think there's, at least on their side, that we did not meet or did not submit proof of contact prior to the September 16th deadline, but we did, and I think they also have that documentation as well. I believe on the September 16th deadline, the only issue was the proof, the letter of intent, and the room reservation. The room reservation originally was not submitted by the other treasurer of the co-sponsorship, if the co-sponsored event. So the other organization not submitted it, we were not, they thought it was not something that we were going to request money for the person in the room. When we did submit, the only thing that was missing at the time was the letter of intent, and we made the proactive effort to go ahead and switch or to make a room reservation to switch the date of the event to a later time. So you will see also as well the 2 different times with all the documentation, so it's not confusing as it is. October 2nd and October 20th. And then the last appeal, the last one we received from was that we're not going to receive defunding because we did not have proof of contract, but that was already committed at the time. So it's just, there's a lot of confusion, I guess, in as to what we did and we did not commit. And I think it's proof from what you guys have that we took proactive measures to make sure that we had everything in, and it was not something that we, that I know the patient was sort of there to make sure that students did not take up the money and not use it appropriately. And you can tell that we attempted several times to make sure that we had everything clear to take. And in the end, it turns out that we didn't have people, we did not receive funding because of the proof of contact project in terms of the students, but you will see in the end that there is.
Thank you. Speaker's list is now open. Representative Stone.
Yeah, this is to the SAFC. Do you have the list of information that they can provide by the deadline now?
As far as the group of contact before September 16th goes, yeah, that was included both in the bill and that we have a new reservation. And in fact, we actually never got that. That was assumed to be appropriations committee. So, group of contact. Room reservation still.
And then I guess, so you guys, why haven't you?
There is proof of room reservation with the university scheduling, I think her name is Anne, and she confirmed it, I believe it's part of the packet. So that was actually our last notice from SSC would not be issued as a room reservation. It was issued as a proof of contract prior to September 16th. So, I think all the documentation is there, but I think it's a matter of when things are turned in. And I think there's a discrepancy between when things were turned in and the reasons why we turned the last unfunded. And I'm not sure if you want to confirm it.
Yeah, actually, if the SSC would mind, can you confirm that it's in the packet? I guess we're not sure. The room reservation.
Yeah, it's right after SAFC. It's Squirrel Mail. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate your time. Hi, Marlene. You're all set. Anne, with the room reservation confirmation number, Organization for Labor Action, her name, the time.
Okay, so does everyone see that page?
It's like this.
Okay.
It's right after this page.
Sorry, I just to clarify, so in the appeal we got the room reservation letter of intent, but neither of them qualified as new information. Because we need to see proof that the speaker was contacted before September 16th, which we didn't have in the original budget. We also didn't have any indication that the room reservation was attached to the original budget.
And
the proof of contact, I guess, was given in the appropriations.
Cole, if you guys wanted to respond, then if you can.
So just again. The proof of contact, I mean, there was no other way to submit proof of contact prior to or after the September 16th at least. The only thing that was submitted after that deadline was the room reservation confirmation for after we switched the date. So it's October 20th that we see for the room confirmation. And along with another intent found by the representative of the organization. And is that clear enough?
That's fine.
Okay.
It might come up again with more people on the speaker's list. VP Miller.
During our appropriations committee meeting, it has got very confusing for everybody involved, certainly did. But what I remember very distinctly is that by the 16th, the day of the original appeal, and again, SAFC can correct me if I'm wrong, they did not have a letter of credit. Proof of contact. They did not have a letter of intent. They did not have an original room reservation. Is that correct?
Correct. And on the very last page, you can see that an attempt for room reservation was made, but it's dated September 26th.
And they were. I apologize. There they go.
Yeah, correct.
And they were told well in advance that for appeals, you need to have, under new information category, you need to have made an attempt to have contacted or letter of intent or an attempt at a room reservation before the date of the 16th, is that correct?
You know, rationale, we just stated that they weren't there, but in the guidelines it states that for new information there needs to be proof of the information is not available before September 16th.
So that was made explicitly clear through the guidelines?
Through the guidelines, yes.
Thank you.
How about Cole if they want to respond to that? or we can move on. Okay, that's fine. I'm just giving you an opportunity. Representative Delanson.
Again, I shared the issue of the spirit of the law in front. Support the spirit of the law or just the law as, you know, basic counsel that, you know, sort of like don't understand the broader issues. And I remember having a discussion with former President of Assembly, Ilhan Greenberg, complaining about the Galatians Assembly was working out there because some people were sort of narrowly looking at, you know, little issues of law instead of looking at the broader issues. And here, in fact, in here you have speaker or more or less, you have people that are looked at active and dynamic. You know, everything is better because people are quite more interested in a lot of people who are funding from this on the FFC. So I think we should definitely fund them because things seem to be pretty clear. The other problem, I understand, in fact, your role in saying no, because basically the guidelines are saying that you guys have messed up and you should not have done it. It is, you know, a problem. But what you're saying here is that we've got to rethink the way the FAFC guidelines are, because obviously they're not functioning very well. And obviously a lot of them probably don't, are not in groups that bring speakers. Speaking, you know, from one of those groups, I can understand it's pretty complicated to have before September 16th the layout of how your semester will go. So that should be the question of how we're going to rethink how we fund those groups. And I think on this part, we should fund them because of, you know, everything is there. But I do recognize that you are right in the conflict.
Thank you, VP Mezzi.
Just to clarify, when I speak, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Appropriations Committee, but this is my personal question, the personal views. The original room reservation for the date that was requested was not ever presented, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Have groups, Ms. SFC, have groups been able to change dates during the funding process in the past?
Can you repeat that? I didn't repeat it.
Have groups in the past changed the date of their event?
You mean after the allocation?
No, during the allocation process. Can you make changes to your budget packet is my question.
To be honest, I'm not sure, but I think if you have a reservation and then considering it,
but as long as you request it, the event is a certain date, you can definitely fund it.
So do you see that since there is no original room reservation submitted or ever submitted, that this would not fall into that case? Okay. That's it.
Representative Andrews.
Required fee. So we then, upon realizing that we
needed to submit that as well. We not only requested a room for October 2nd, but then we realized that we were going to run into a lot of trouble, and we were perhaps not going to see the funds on time. So then we decided to go ahead and change that October 2nd deadline after the meeting was reached, but we never submitted proof of that. And then they made the room reservation for October 20th, which is why it shows, I think it was set October 26th, which is a much later date. But in general, we were actively trying to make sure that we had all the documentation ready. And in fact, we did. If we received funding by the second time, we could have potentially, you know, had everything ready. We already have a poster for the event as well. I mean, we'll be able to use that poster. And we've been in close communication with Anne as well to maintain the reservation that 165 has wrong. And I just want to add, the reason why we were very persistent about for this semester, this having this semester, is because along with New Brunswick, we also want to have far more people come with her. And we're hoping the dialogue and conversation with the students and the workers is much different. Otherwise, when she comes in the winter, it's going to be much harder to bring workers with her. And again, it's not something that we want, you know, workers for advantage of school or anything like that, but we definitely want to engage them in the conversation with the students. And it's something that we're trying to bring the topic to campus. Since, you know, we're fortunate that we be in a very rural area in the city.
V.P. Basil. So I want to clarify something with the SAFC. I understand that there, even if this appeal goes forward, I understand there was something that was mentioned at some point about the honorarium and there possibly being some problem with that since it's such a large request. Was that true or was I just wrong? Since it's also a co-sponsored event, the fact that they're asking for $5,000 for an honorarium?
Take your time.
The honorary request is the actual allowed.
Okay. Let's see. I'm about to move on to the second speaker's list. No, I'm not. Representative Craig.
Basically, just what you said, I'd like to emphasize that from what we just heard, that is qualifying of the information, whether that was received by the SAFC, that's a different question. They definitely seem to have been working on this, and as we heard, it's hard to plan out a semester how exactly, that's like the second week of school, almost, when you think about it, because you have to be on top of your whole semester's plan. I'm leaning towards the fact that we need to look at, you know, possibly overturning this decision. My question would be if the appropriations committee decision holds up and you guys get $0 in funding, what happens to the event? Or what would you then do?
We're going to attempt to perhaps get funding through the
IRL
school, but at the same time, we also have other events that we do not apply under the budget that we would like to get funding. So we'll probably have to discuss it within our group, and I'm not entirely sure if we will continue with it, perhaps not. And NESA as well have other things in their agenda that they need funding as well, and I don't think that they'd be. There's also requests. They're having a cooking conference in the spring, which they need money for, and I don't think that they can actually take it with them.
So, given that, again, I would like to encourage, I guess, members and assembly members to take into account this isn't necessarily like a trip per se, you know, everyone's going to go to Canada to learn about something or something of that nature. They're providing a service that's going to benefit the rest of the student community by offering speakers and informationals or whatever you want to say that. I think it'd be an added imposition on both organizations to force them to look for more funding, because then that means that whether for this event, which may end up having to be canceled, or for future events of the semester, they will not, chances are, or there's a high probability that they will be, you know, more constrained. So given that we have this information here, given that SAFC, they've done what they need to do, they're following the regulations, but I feel that in this case, if the court does look at what's good for the students and what's good for us in the community, and that's the way that we should do it.
Representative Husick.
Hi, you had mentioned earlier that you had a room reservation for your October 2nd date.
So it was, right, it was made, I believe, after September 16th, and not submitted under, so there's, after that, the week after, and by that time, we decided to submit.
He is, yes.
So by that time, we decided to submit.
Okay, so you did submit the October 2nd because you had changed the date and you just submitted the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Representative Stein.
I withdraw my question.
Moving on to the second speaker list, unless there's anyone else. Right. Oh, you already spoke, so I'll have you on the second speaker's list. Anyone for the first? Okay, VP Miller.
So I want to go back to this argument of spirit and doing what's right. Because I see it, the SAFC funds over 300 groups. One out of 50 of those groups plays by the rules. They do everything they're supposed to do. I don't feel it's right to penalize them by saying, you know, because this group didn't think. Not only did this group not have a room reservation for the first thing, they didn't follow through with the first room reservation, so they made a second one. That does make some sense to me. But here's the thing. They knew ahead of time, these are the rules of the SAFC if you want to get SAFC funded, if you want to get SAFC money. You have to do it. You can't, even though being proactive, yeah, it's efficient. It sounds good. But they all took the president and treasurer's test. They all know the rules. The rule says you need to have a letter of intent, proof of communication, and a room reservation if you're going to get our money. They knew this well in advance, and they just didn't do it, which is why they're not playing by the rules, and we shouldn't hurt other groups, but who did follow the rules?
Representative Salem.
Yeah, I kind of had a point of information. So in the event that the FDA is of the time, we would be voting on an amount to allocate to them.
Well, no. So we vote on what the overturning of the Appropriations Committee. So if we vote to overturn the Appropriations Committee, then we're essentially at that discussion that APSCOM had. We have to come up, right. We would propose to fund it full or at another amount, and then we'd vote on it, and it'd be...
Yes, so addressing, I guess, what V.P. Miller said, I think that it's kind of hard to withdraw total funding, so just keep in mind that, you know, if we do decide to overturn the decision, you know, we can penalize them somewhat and withdraw some funding, but you shouldn't do, like, withdraw total funding just because of, like, a forgotten letter or something like that.
Representative DeLongstone.
Especially when it's an outside speaker. I'm going to just remind us of what we did for the little panel on alcohol consumption. Now this panel, which has been in the making for like 2 or 3 weeks before, we've been hearing about it, was confirmed like a day before. We got the email saying it happened. So just to put it in context, so that we know, a lot of people don't know, have no idea what it means with an organization yet. But, you know, it's very complicated to read. So we should be understanding, you know, in an executive basis, the understanding of what they're doing and what the work they're doing, the service they're providing to the community, and, you know, a lot of hours to do it. We should fund this with the money of the students' money, basically. You know, we should fund it the way we find the most appropriate. We should fund them, and then we should rethink the way we do the guidelines for speakers, you know, and we should be open to exception and open to sort of, like, not be accountable, basically. And the other thing is that it does pose a problem. You're right, that the first group that spoke had more or less the same problem, and we voted against them. So it is true that if we vote to give them money, and we voted to the guys before not to give them money, that means that we're in line. So that's what we should
wait, do. I need to make a... Yeah, I'm anticipating your clarification. I think you're referring to the other hundreds of groups, not necessarily the one that was here today.
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Andrews.
$5,000 worth, or however much money, will this affect the other allocations of the groups?
pointed. Can I respond to that, actually? It will not affect the other group's allocation in any way, and I think we need to look at it as the merit of the case and the application packet and the guidelines, and not as, you know, how much money is left in the pool and that sort of thing. So I don't want other numbers to come into to play when deciding on these things.
Well, hold on. So just answer. So you'd be answer the question, because that's
no, it will not affect other groups.
Right.
It won't affect other businesses. It will come out of money that would be used towards next semester.
That's not true.
Wait.
I have the budget sheet. We're actually. We have a certain number left over from this year. We thought we gave out more than we did, actually. I'll show you the numbers later.
So now we have to understand, if we go over what we budgeted for this semester, SHC. That's the question, if we don't have enough left.
Right, I don't think.
Are you on the same page with that?
Yeah, there's money left.
Right, okay, the question was if there wasn't any.
There wasn't any.
All right, but I'm going to move on. Yeah, well, you still have the floor.
Clarify the question. There's the argument that if you don't, if you grant this funding, you're penalizing the other groups who didn't get funded. And, I mean, clearly, on the original application, there's information missing. So, understanding, yet they have to deny them funding. I'm on the appropriations committee. We deny them funding on the basis that they're missing information. This is clearly in the packet demonstrating the information. But understanding that it doesn't penalize other groups, it could be understandable to fund this group.
The point of information.
What's the point of information?
If COLA is not funded at the amount they request,
Point of information are questions to me.
Okay. Point of information. Is any money that is remaining in the balance of SAFC at one semester, is that rolled over to their next semester's budget to be used by other groups?
SAFC? Yeah. Representative, you were done, Vincent? Representative Stein.
One of the important things, at least I see to note here, is that regardless of whether or not we feel that the SAFC guidelines are ideal or even functional, we do have to take into account that those are the guidelines we currently have. Lots of groups follow them. I'm not really clear on why this misunderstanding arose for COLA. I mean, I know that you guys are an established group on campus. You go through funding quite regularly, bring speakers regularly. And as much as, you know, having these events is beneficial for our community, we have to take into account that there are lots of groups following this who could also put on beneficial events for the community. Additionally, we now have this option where you can say, I made a mistake in the funding process, and so I want 75% of my money. COLA didn't do this. So if we want to say, oh, they made a mistake, we should give them their money, then we should take into account that they themselves did not admit they made the mistake and ask for 75%.
Point of information.
Yeah, so from my understanding, COLA couldn't have qualified for the reduction in Chapter 3.1 because that didn't qualify as information.
The 75% rule?
Yeah.
Can SFC comment on that?
Sure, basically information given would be no, because the 75% rule applies to stuff that was there and just not turned in. We didn't see a room reservation turned in. Had a room reservation for before September 16th, maybe before September 16th, forgot it turned in, then turned in, then it would qualify as the
So that doesn't apply, the rule?
So it's not a matter of they didn't take the initiative to try to make it apply to that. It couldn't have applied whatsoever, right?
Point of information, though.
Point of information.
Couldn't that still be used if, for instance, the reservation was for the wrong day, so they had a reservation, just not the right reservation? That wouldn't qualify as a mistake under this new rule?
I think he's going to have to explain the usage of the 75% rule. For that.
I was under the impression that, you know, they had a room reservation, not the right one, and they didn't submit the room.
They didn't have it.
There's no room. They had one, according to the group, they had one, which I believe, but it was not submitted to us. There was no evidence they had. We had no reason to believe.
So they had information that they didn't submit to you.
Okay, the only, I'm going to, hold on, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm going to move on from this, except for the point of information was,
yeah.
Does the 75% rule apply to this group? Yes or no? That's all I need, SAFC.
Can we clarify it? Because I'm a little confused now as to how it works.
Yes. Can either Greg or the SAFC clarify the 75%? Wait, no, I'm sorry. If it doesn't apply to this group, then we're not going to do that now during this group's hearing.
Oh, no, but I meant as to why it doesn't apply.
That's fine. Why doesn't it apply?
Yeah, the 75% rule, according to the guidelines, applies to readily correctable mistakes. Basically, stuff that was there and just not turned in, or could have been turned in at that time.
Okay, I'm gonna keep moving on the list. Please feel free to talk about that as we keep going. Tony, he's responding to her. Everyone has stopped talking.
I'm not sure how to do this.
Okay.
So there's two, I guess, items that were not necessarily consented in the beginning, and then in the end, it was, I guess, the issue proof of contact, which is not even relevant now, I guess.
Okay, I'm moving on to the speakers list. Representative Craig.
Okay, so I'm going to rewind this a little bit. A couple things that I want to deal with. So technically, in a way, again, going back to the whole idea of what was explained to us, yes, there was new information. But since it wasn't submitted showing that there was documentation, there was no idea that we could say it was new information because there was nothing that we even had to base it off in the first place. When they sent the email, the updated email, which would have qualified as new information if it was there, they gave us the updated one and not the new one. So in a sense, it is new information. Going back to the whole idea of spirit, I'd like to remind all of us that we're not the Supreme Court. That's something I think we need to really understand is, while yes, this is a great thing and it helps us to organize the way we run procedures, we as a committee are responsible for the greater student body, for the concerns of students, and for things that may benefit students. That's what we're put on here to do. That's what we're voting on. That's the way we need to run things. SAFC, on the other hand, they need to make sure that they organize procedurally. So they did the right thing by following their rules and acting as the Supreme Court of that case. Appropriations did their role in saying that the appeal was not necessarily, you know, going along the lines of new information. So that they need to follow according to their mind. Our mind is to evaluate, is this going to serve a good, I could go through our charter and read the different clauses. Does this help the student community? That's something that we need to remember. We don't necessarily need to uphold as if we're the Supreme Court. We can make decisions and exceptions in cases. Again, going back to something that Representative DeLongfong said earlier, we are not necessarily run by precedent. Earlier in the meeting that we had this afternoon, it was a little bit different in that there was no proof of, that there has been contact. And the individual that was here did not necessarily seem as though he wanted to prove that there was that. So that's something that we need to remember, since it's a case-by-case basis at the same time. If other student body groups feel as though that they were wrong, they easily could have made, a decision and to appeal. That's something that we need to take an advantage. But the main idea here is the spirit. Let's do something for the student community. They need this money. We can talk about if you want to penalize them, whatever you want to do. We can debate that after we make the right decision and overturn what the SAFC did, and then we can go from there. So let's talk about punishment later on.
Representative Rapps.
Okay, well, going off of punishment, I just want to know, if we do happen to penalize you, will you still be able to uphold your event if we take the money from you?
If it's less than 5,000, the exact amount. I will, whatever, given the amount that we receive, and I will go back to Ms. Rebecca, discuss that with her, explain to her what happened, and then, of course, if she wants to come to her now, given whatever money there is, it will be her decision. At this point, because of the relationship that we've had with Armin and the fact that Kolo, we think that if it's a reasonable amount, it will still come. We'll still consider to come.
Right.
So we're going to be talking about punishment. It seems like we're going to bring it up. Again, we're talking about an honorarium, a specific amount that you can bring a speaker. We're not necessarily talking about like how far out we should go in connection at a party or an event. This is something that is going to be hard to change. You know, this is what it is, and that we should think about that when we're talking about punishment and just taking off $1,000 because it's 75%. So really, when we're talking about punishment, think about it. This is an honorarium for a speaker that is coming, not something that can easily be deducted.
One, just to go back in the spirit of things, while I do agree, I also do think that we have a fiduciary responsibility to manage the funds that we're entrusted with in an appropriate way. We have all agreed on guidelines. We have all set forth guidelines. Past assemblies have set forth these guidelines. And we really need to follow those guidelines because there's 300 some other groups out there who follow those guidelines to the T. And why I do feel that we should try to fund as many groups as possible, I do think we should fund as many groups as possible within the guidelines. I have planned events before, so I do understand that process. And I also think that all that needed to be shown was that there was attempts made to contact and to reserve a room. An original room request was never submitted. What they originally asked for was there was proof, no proof was ever provided that was in fact confirmed with a room reservation. A different room reservation, which is actually not what they're asking for. They're asking for an event on a specific date. Correct me, what was the original date?
The reason why we did change the date was because we did not submit another request because we did not get a hold of Nobody by that time, which is why the collective message switched the date from October 2nd to October 20th. And you will also see that date change on the application. So yes, you are right that there was a change, but it's because we didn't submit a letter of intent, so we sort of anticipated that there would be some problems with our funding to be received on time.
Well, I do understand that, and I appreciate the proactiveness. I do, though, think that the application was for an event on this date, and through the application process, this date has been changed. So I think we have a responsibility to uphold the guidelines that we've set forth, and unfortunately, that could mean not funding a group, but that just might have to be the case.
DP Basil. When I personally look at, fields like this, I guess over the last couple of years, I look for basically two things. One, the extent of the errors, and two, the intent of how they happened, whether it was sort of oversight, whether it was external circumstances, unforeseen circumstances. And here I really feel like the extent of the errors and the fact that there really weren't any mitigating circumstances really lent itself to the SFC being correct in their decisions. But I definitely do give credence to the other point of view. So I guess ultimately I think we've heard a lot of people right now, and I think we should go ahead and call the question so we can render a decision. So I'd like to call the question.
There's been a call to question. There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Rami, take 30 seconds to explain your dissent. Okay, we're gonna go right into a vote. We're voting to vote. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of calling the question. Hands high. All opposed? Abstentions? Yes, it does. We needed a two-thirds by vote of 12 to 4.
12 to 4? Okay, I definitely have.
By vote of 12 to 4, we need a two-thirds to call the question, and that's two-thirds. The clerk?
Wait.
Hold on a second.
1 minute to closing arguments.
That doesn't matter. I asked then. It's 12 to 4. And there were no abstentions. So we're calling the question. Yeah. Will the clerk please call the roll?
No. Closing arguments.
Yeah, sorry. We have closing arguments. The groups, please take a minute for closing remark, SAFC a minute after that.
Okay, again, we hope that you
You could obviously tell that the structural active measures to make sure that we receive the funding. We are in constant communication with both the make the schedule for 125 mil block along with the developers and hope to do this this semester, like this spring, because it was have different dynamics for the organization for people to participate. Along with that, you will also notice that the reason for not giving the funding is in fact, the reason, if we did not receive funding, it's because we didn't have an administration. And in fact, the reason why we didn't receive funding was for those two SAFC in our last year, because we didn't have proof of the contract, which we do have in our
package. Thank you very much. I'll ask this because we're a little bit of a this process, but it seems like we can talk about rules and staging and how, you know, it was right at the SAFC, it was a day seller, it was right at the appropriations committee. This appeal process is also part of those rules.
30 seconds.
And if this appeal process is part of those rules, then you have given yourself the ability to be flexible on the previous rules and consider it once again the merits of this event.
Thank you. SAFC?
Sure. I'm sure you guys are all pretty familiar with the facts on that, but I just want to say that body guidelines, we want to treat all groups fairly and objectively, and we make decisions based on that. And how you guys want to keep the data for us, I think we should be okay.
Thank you.
Point of information.
Point of information.
What is the date of the event? Because you said October 20th.
Sorry. I'm sorry. We've already called the questions. We're about to go into questions, so there can't be any more. Yeah. Yeah, but that's we're already in a motion of calling a question, so we can't bring up the facts of the case again. Point of information is mostly about procedure, parliamentary procedure, and points of clarification. Okay, the clerk's going to call the roll. If you're voting yes, you're voting to uphold the appropriations decision that the SAFC did not err and the group doesn't get their funding. If you're voting no, you're overturning the appropriations decision and saying the SAFC did err, of which we will talk about the allocation of COLA will be brought back on the table and we will discuss amounts. So, yes, on the favor of the SAFC and against the group. No, against the SAFC and appropriations decision and for the group. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Point of parliamentary procedure. If we're voting no and we're saying that the SAFC did err,
We're saying the appropriations, we're either upholding or not upholding the appropriations committee's decision. That's what we're voting on. I'm explaining this so we all understand what that is.
That's fine.
You need a majority to approve. You need a two-thirds majority to overturn appropriations. Two-thirds of the members present here. Any questions? Will the clerk please call the roll?
No. Yes.
Yes. Did he proxy?
He didn't proxy.
Abstain?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? I got 9-8-1.
Let's wait for the clerk. I'm sorry?
Did you get number?
Okay, take your time. Take your time. We just want the right number. So a vote of 9-8-1, we neither have majority nor two-thirds. I'm going to reopen discussion. I'm going to continue on the speaker's list. I'm going to reopen discussion, and I'm going to continue the speaker's list I already had. I'm choosing not to break the, you know, give my vote. Next, point of information.
What's the date again?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, after I heard that we were not receiving funding for the last I heard, I spoke with Liz, and she said that pretty much right now, on the month of November, there are a lot of dates free for 165 milligrams. I cannot specify a date. I don't want to reserve a room and then not get the appropriations and then have someone else on campus who wants that room and has the date. So I didn't want to go ahead and make a reservation. So as of now, it's pending for some time in November.
We're going on to the third speaker's list, unless there was anyone else from the second that didn't speak. You spoke. Okay, third, I have you, Luis. Representative Stein.
So I think we've all had a lot of arguments, and everyone understands each other's points. It takes a lot to organize an event, but at least in my opinion, everyone else needs to manage. So, I mean, there's an appeals process, and I commend you for going through it. It's definitely, you know, your time is valuable as ours is, but the fact of the matter is, the more times that we say, okay, let's overrule the Appropriations Committee, the less legitimacy the Appropriations Committee seems to have, and the less incentive there is to actually complete the forms and go through the process correctly. Going through the process correctly is inconvenient, but it's important, and that's how we put out our funds. If we want to change that, then that's something we can do through a resolution. But until then, we need to recognize that there are groups who have done it, groups who have not, and that this money can roll over to next semester and go to a group that didn't put together their paperwork correctly. So I hope that we can keep this short and just come to a vote. I yield my time to Representative Miller or VP Miller.
You have 30 seconds.
I want to echo this time sentiment that it's not like this money disappears and we give it to them and everyone's gone. This money will roll over if it's in excess to next semester, which will allow over 300 groups to get maybe more funding than they would have. 300 groups that do follow the rules to the T that might deserve a little bit more. SAFC is often hampered by the amount they're allowed to give groups because of things like appeals. They have to reserve a chunk of their money for this appeals process. Now, I understand that, you know, it's a necessary evil due to, like, new information and things where there's, you know, there's clerical errors or even mistakes that we now allow for. But due to negligence to follow the rules, you're penalizing groups in the next semester where this money could have rolled over. And I yield my time to the chair.
Next on the speaker's list is you. I yield to the chair. Representative Salem.
Yeah, so point that was made before that I think VP Nelson brought this up, that 300 groups did follow, you know, the application process to the city. And you know what? As a reward for that, they're getting full funding. Now, I'd like you all to keep in mind that this 75% rule, personally, I think it's fabulous. I think it's a great way to address the mistakes that were made. But keep in mind that this is the first year that it's been instated. So I wouldn't blame the organization for not, you know, realizing that this rule exists and taking full advantage of it. Personally, I don't think that we should fully fund them, but I don't think at the same time we should deny full funding. I think they should at least be allowed to have, you know, a portion of it. Since, you know, they could have took advantage of a rule that's already instated, but since it is the first time, it might have been more difficult for, like, a new treasurer or whatever to be fully aware of.
Representative De Alonso.
Again, there's a reason why I have appealed, right? And again, you guys are going to vote against the corporations are right to vote against. We're here to represent the best interests of the students, and the best interests of the students, not to squeeze this money and have it spent next year to some other people. You know, it's to use this money now. The university is allowing us, through the student accounting scheme, which we set a certain set of money that we have to use this semester, and by not using it this semester, when they have everything lined up to have a successful event, probably draw more people than many other events, I think that in this case, we should, and it's our responsibility, it's our duty, to vote to make Cornell a more vibrant, more intellectual, vibrant place. And basically, we're not going to be
cut off by like little regulations. I mean, we're you know, we've got to do what's best. We determine. They determine what's best versus their charter. We determine now that coming to our level, the level of the student assembly, we determine what's best for the student body, and we determine what's best for campus. So definitely, I believe,
a minute left.
We've got to vote. Yes, I mean, we've got to vote whatever, yes or no, but we've got to vote to give them money. I don't know what we should give them the money. We don't need to give them as much money. We could, like, again, punish them or something like that. We could think about that, but we should give them some money from the summer for the
point of information, Luis, you mentioned the money would be frozen until next year. The money would be frozen until next year.
Representative Andrews?
Am I on the list?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually reversed my vote from the appropriation committee here.
Give a second.
And I think that the reason for that was on the appropriation committee, I felt like the spirit of the appropriation committee was to determine the ruling of the SAFC. Now I feel like the spirit of the student assembly as a whole is to determine the validity of this application. They obviously had problems presenting the information at first. They appealed it. They had rumors of issues on second appeal. They had been better than that. And I think that they do deserve the money.
Parliamentarian Bruce? You're up.
Oh, okay.
Scott, you want to talk?
Ask
to be in the speaker's list.
It seems to me that there's a big difference in opinion on whether or not we're voting on the rules or whether or not we're voting on what's best for the students. And I think that some people probably feel that it is best for the students to vote on the rules. But I don't think that we should be looking at this as whether or not this group deserves the money over the groups next year. I think we should be looking at this as whether or not this group will use the money beneficially. And I don't think that forgetting to include a detail, a form, should keep them from getting the money. I think that the reason that these rules are in place is to make sure that we don't give a group money and have them not use it beneficially. And so I think we should look at whether or not we believe that this event will actually take place and be beneficial, and vote based on that.
Point of information.
Quorum is the majority. We have a majority.
13.
We have it. We're keeping track. Representative Craig.
I've got a lot of stuff going through my head right now. So we're talking about let's not punish. So let's just take a little minute to analyze what Representative Nevin said and what the SAFC is like further a little bit. Was that we have an extra funding right now that is being left over and is going to be balanced anyway. So if we're not necessarily utilizing all of our funds and it's going to be going over anyway, and chances are that we may have extra funding next semester, if the same thing happens, that's thinking so much in the future. Let's just think right now. It's looking at it right now, they're not punishing anybody. All groups that got their money got their money. Okay? So when we're saying that just because you're using up money that's there, that may not, you know, next semester, if you think of it, people may not even apply for that type of funding. So we can't exactly say for sure that they're affecting student groups and stealing money that was rightfully given to someone else. Okay? That's one thing. Again, we have to reiterate that we're doing what's best for the students on this committee. That's, again, we're losing sight of it. We talk about spirit.
1 minute.
And reputation. We don't want to do this because it dislegitimizes the reputation of the SAFC. But what about our reputation on the SA? We're talking about how much we adamantly want to change student perceptions so that students see, oh, the SA is for me. They're doing things that are going to help me. We don't want students going around saying, you know, F whatever, blank whatever, the student assembly, just because they're not making decisions in our benefit. So we have to think about our reputation. We're serving students. There's a student grind, not even the student population that may come to this. We have to think in terms of the students, not just necessarily the reputation of the SAFC. Going along, I may run out of time, so please extend me. There's a little bit something that we have to think about here. When we're talking about erring, perhaps we need to analyze what exactly does the vote do. Okay, because when we're voting no, we're not necessarily at the SAFC errors, in my opinion. We're just saying that we feel that there's a need or that we're making our own decision about this matter. So that's something that can be looked about in the
that's
future.
Time.
So that it doesn't.
That's time. All right, moving on. By how many seconds? Or by how much?
A minute.
By a minute. Is there a sec? You're extended by a minute.
Okay, I'll be really short. So, again, what was I saying? Let's just think about the spirit. They're not hurting other groups. Their money is there. Money will be there next semester for other groups. Other groups that want it, they can apply and they will go from there. Think on a semester by semester basis. This is what's there. You can offer something for our students, Bonnie, and we can talk about our reputation as a student assembly. Let's not be the legislative body that just follows a book of rules or something. And again,
30 seconds.
This is very important. I may use up 30 seconds. The new information thing versus the error, 75%. This is 25% off. This is a new thing, again, as Representative Salem said, that we can take into account. They forgot to give us, you know, material showing that they made emails, but this, given
10
that
seconds.
They said it's there, that means that they qualify, and perhaps the SAFC can expand upon that. But given on what's in the charter, that means that they should qualify, because as I'm reading the charter, that makes
time.
Sense.
Representative Brockman.
Point of information.
Point of information.
Just to clarify, there was $44,000. What the SAFC does not work really. The allocation from the student activity fee is not a semester by semester. It's for the year. So they have the allocation for that year. What they do is they divide it up amongst spring and fall, so that they have money in the spring to give away. We did, though, since this 25% rule caused a number of problems, decide to take $44,000 from the spring semester, dump it into the fall semester so that we could accommodate this issue that we're having. So we're actually $20,000 in the hole for what we allocated at the beginning of the year for the spring semester. So the leftover funds is out of that $44,000 that we pulled from spring to fall.
Okay, Representative Brockman.
Point of information, though? Is that done every semester just to make sure that we have the funds that are needed?
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is that particular to this semester, or has that been done
No, that's particular to this semester.
That we borrowed money from?
Yes.
Yes, that's particular to this semester because this 25% rule created such a problem.
We're repeating. I can't repeat it. I have a long speaker's list.
I have a quick point. But didn't you say there'd be money left over, like rollover? So how can we...
Okay, sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Go on the speaker's list if you want to discuss or debate. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Brockman. Representative Hines.
I'm not going to say anything new.
Representative Kumar.
Yeah, I just want to echo Amy with the good said that I think the Appropriations Committee under Greg's leadership did that right thing by saying that the SAFC did not err technically. But I think it is important that we would get this holistically from the entire SAFC point of view. I think the Appropriations Committee, by saying that the SAFC did not err, I think it leaves the SAFC's legitimacy intact, and I think we have a new opportunity here. So I echo everything that they said, and I'd like to call the question.
To call a question, is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any dissent? Okay. We're calling to question. Again, if you're voting yes, you're voting to approve the Appropriations Committee's decision. Yes, yes, please.
Again, I trust you guys to do what you think is right. And just a point of clarification, the reason why we decided to continue to appeal over appeal briefly, we're given different stages at different appeal processes in the different stages. And then the last stage that we were told we were not going to get funding because of proof of contract prior to September 16th that we did have. So we only thought reasonable that we go ahead and appeal that because we did have proof of contract. That's the only point of clarification. I do not doubt that you guys are competent to fulfill your job. I think you guys are doing a great job. I just thought we decided to appeal because we thought it was definitely something that was overlooked. And again, you can go ahead and
okay, and SFC can have 30 seconds just to be fair. Or not. Okay. You're voting yes in favor of ABSCOM. The SFC did not err against the group, and that's for zero funding. If you're voting no, you're voting to disapprove the Appropriations Committee's decision and that the SFC did err and that we will discuss a different funding number. We will discuss the allocation from the beginning. The clerk, please call the roll. Well, in pass.
No.
No.
Not here. She didn't proxy.
No.
Yes. No.
Yes. Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I said no.
Yeah. Thank you, Miles. Not here. It was just the two passes. You hit them. I'm in here. What do you have?
There was a pass.
We hit the passes. Yeah. What do you have? Yeah, that's what I have as well. Eight yeses, nine noes. That's again, we don't have a majority or two-thirds. So I'm opening up the speakers list. No, I'm not opening up the speakers list yet. I'm about to say something. It's now 7:25. Someone was supposed to motion adjourn. I've just sort of been extending. Sorry. Someone was supposed to motion to extend. I've been extending just whatever. At this point, we're way past our meeting time. So unless there's a motion of anything, I'm going to have to adjourn.
Motion to table then. And adjourn.
I heard a motion. What was your motion?
Motion to extend.
There's been a motion to extend.
Point of information.
Point of information.
If we adjourn, what happens to this business that we're dealing with now?
It's tabled to next week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's been a motion to extend. Is there a second?
Well, actually, if it's tabled, and we will discuss this issue next week.
It's unfinished business next week.
Point of information.
Point of information.
The
they're tabled to next week.
Oh.
Well, I dropped.
She would. You withdraw.
I motion to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Please explain your dissent, 30 seconds.
I just think we've spent a lot of time on this. I think if we can't come to a decision now, then are we ever going to come to a decision? We're just going to have to go over all of this stuff, get it fresh in our mind. We should take care of the business at hand. Regardless of the time, we have a responsibility as elected officials
okay,
to do
that's
our
all
job.
I needed. I have to open a speaker's list about the motion to adjourn. Representative Andrews.
Call the question. A lot of members, I have you. We have a full assembly, and we have the majority. I say that we adjourn now and have a full assembly.
Representative Salem.
I agree. The outcome could probably be different because we'll have 5 extra votes, so it makes perfect sense to keep it.
There's been a call question.
Dissent.
It's dissent.
Oh, sorry. I thought
he called the question.
Yeah, no. I withdraw my
dissent. We're going to go right into the question. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of adjourning. If we adjourn, just to be clear, this is tabled to next week, and it will be unfinished business. Pot high, hands high. Like, your elbow shouldn't be on the table if you're raising your hand. 1, 2. All opposed to the adjournment? Wait. Where's the number I just had?
10.
10-7 is not a two-thirds, because we needed a two-thirds because there's a dissent, because we have to protect the minority. So we're still going on the speaker's list.
I don't know.
A new speaker's list.
Hold on, can I say something?
Wait, okay. Can everyone, I know everyone's, we all don't know what's happening, so we all like to talk. Just wait until I kind of explain the situation, and then we'll move on. So the motion to adjourn failed. So now we're back. The call to question, we didn't get a majority or two-thirds. So now we're starting a new speaker's list and talking. Speaker's list is open. Point of information. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to adjourn as chair. We will hear this as unfinished business next week. I'm really sorry. It was a long discussion. I mean, at least I think a lot of points were brought up.
Keep your package.
Keep your package. I'm not putting them out again.
Nothing.
It's not
quite for good, though. And that's kind of cool. They're all bringing up
the
region.
Okay.
Hi.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.